First, drones were one of the most popular Christmas gifts this year, from delivering food to helping Australia's Antarctic Division make its way through treacherous icy waters. It seems like drones have no limits. Drone technology has played a big role in Australian life in 2015, and it's set to do even bigger things next year. Claire Connolly is a tech journalist, and she joins me now. Claire, welcome.
Good morning. How are you?
Well, thank you. So, Claire, what was your tech highlight for 2015?
2015 really put an end to social movements and seeing social media used for challenging potentially dictatorial rule and uprisings in the Middle East. But 2015 really put an end to that. We really started to see the internet begin to be used increasingly as a propaganda device, both by governments but also by various social groups, including terror groups, trying to coerce and co-opt vulnerable, usually young people of all religions from all over the world to subscribe to different various political views. We've also seen drone technology used across the world. This year we saw leaks from The Intercept detailing the inner workings of President Barack Obama's drone assassination program. Now, drones have been a really amazing technology. They're lightweight. It allows to cut down on the amount of resources that you need in things like delivery services. They also have really excellent camera and photography technologies. They've also been used to do things like water crops and plant seeds, which means that it's going to help farmers have longevity to their careers even after a point where they can do physical labour themselves. On the other side of that is they've been used to surveil and kill people. I think we can expect to see far more of these applications being used in the year to come.
And I mean, drones can even be used by ordinary people to do really dangerous things. We've seen that YouTube video in the States of a man who basically attached a Glock to retail drone and managed to fire it, holding it pretty level. The US equivalent of CASA has just introduced a register for all civilian drones.
Yeah, they've created a register for drones, which is reassuring. But when you can 3D print your own gun using plastics that you can buy from the equivalent of Bunnings, there really isn't enough regulation around this. And it's kind of interesting in the US that they've regulated drones, but they haven't regulated firearms. If you're worried about drones being used to kill people, wouldn't you really look at the weapon before the thing that's carrying it?
Well, I guess it means that you can no longer attach the Glock to the drone. You just have to use the Glock, which, yeah.
You've just got to use your itchy trigger finger. As long as you're holding the gun, it's fine. You just can't attach it to a drone.
All right. Well, will we be seeing more or less of drones next year, do you think?
Unfortunately, we're definitely going to be seeing more. And I think we're definitely going to be seeing more arguments about who does and does not have the right to use a drone. President Barack Obama himself has tried to limit civilian access to drones unsuccessfully. He's tried on, I think, two or three different occasions, one where a neighbour complained that he was simply being surveilled illegally by his next-door neighbour who was simply flying a drone over his property. You know, the state tried to argue that this was unconstitutional and lost. If we're worried about who is the most vulnerable when drones fall into the wrong hands, I really wouldn't be looking at civilians. I'd be looking at the US military and law enforcement.
So how is our daily interaction with technology going to change in 2016? Apart from drones, what else is going to happen?
I mean, I think we're really going to see a movement towards absolute lazy sloth kind of application.
This sounds excellent.
Claire Riley of CNET on Download This Show, probably in this studio last week, basically said that the whole tech boom is really just about getting people to do things that you wanted your mum to do for you as a teenager. It's all just about convenience and accessibility. And I think we're really going to start to see the service industry really move into the app space, where if you do not have the time or inclination to do any number of things, be that laundry, to banking, to delivery, getting things taken and dropped off and delivered to your place, I think we're just going to see far more of these applications. I was actually speaking to a CEO of a certain delivery company in San Francisco that has already developed an app to deliver legal goodies of the illicit kind around America in the states where it has already been legalized. What they're planning to do in the new year is to try and develop that app with drone technology. So they don't right. need people to deliver this anymore. They can simply just fly it to your house, right. no pun intended.
Right.
So, yeah, I think we can start to see some real use of a blending of the legal, illegal, and about to become legal into this virtualization and convenience space.
This is something I hadn't thought about transporting substances, but this is something I've wondered about drones and food, like food delivery through drones. It requires a lot of sort of good behavior on the part of the general public not to, for instance, pick up a little food drone trundling along the sidewalk and maybe empty the contents, take someone's lunch home.
Or, you know, when we were all kids, we all called up and delivered pizzas to somebody's house that wasn't ours. You know, what happens when you can use a drone to do something like that? I mean, I think the potential for hijinks is going to be excellent and hilarious. And then I think probably within a year or 18 months, we'll see this kind of thing start to come under control.
So what inventions, that's applications, but what pure inventions are around the corner next for next year? Will we finally see, for instance, I don't know, expansions of driverless car technology?
Driverless cars is probably the thing to watch for 2016. We've really started to see the development happen this year. Google released a driverless car. Tesla is developing its own driverless car technology. And we're also seeing the solar battery come into fruition, which means that finally people can start storing energy that they absorb through solar panels, whether that's sitting on the roof of their house or whether it's a floating solar raft that's powering a remote community. The means to have a battery to store that electricity and use it whenever it's convenient means that it has a number of applications, not just for the home, but for the driverless car and also for other forms of technology like drones. But we've also seen massive developments in medicine. We saw a foam that was used to reduce trauma to the body. They basically cut you open in your abdomen and they fill what looks like your abdomen with foam, which means that if you've come under if you've been shot, for example, or if you're in a war zone and your organs might be vulnerable to things like IEDs or explosive devices, this foam is designed to absorb the trauma so that your body has more time to heal. We're seeing nanotechnology.
It's like internal Kevlar or something.
Yeah,
this is men who stare at goats kind of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, 10 years ago we had spray on skin for burn victims. What we're really starting to see is this same kind of technology be used internally to reduce trauma on victims. It also has huge applications for the young and the vulnerable, for whom they may not survive without this kind of technology. Nanotechnology has come a huge way, and we're really starting to see the kinds of innovations that these things can apply to. When you're starting to see that a chip can be installed on a fiber no smaller than a hair, this means things like pacemaker technology, hearing aids, the cochlear implant, everything is going to get smaller and smaller and smaller, so much so that hopefully the cost will come down and the applications will be much wider. And hopefully we'll start to see areas in the developing world start to come up. We've had some predictions from economists that China and India are really the two next economies to watch. It means that the centralization out of Silicon Valley will start to expand, and it means that the developed world can start to find ways using things like smartphones and modular smartphones to target local problems and create commerce in economies that have none, that have no access to things like running water and food, who all of a sudden with a smartphone with very basic technology in it can start to earn currency and money that they can just store digitally and then use to exchange for goods and services.
Yep.
The ability to take people out of poverty is pretty immense.
And we will be hearing more from India next on our global check-in. But Claire Connolly, thank you very much for joining us.
It's been a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Claire Connolly is a technology writer.